Hallelujah, once again, good evening to everyone.
再次向在座各位说声晚安。
May the peace and the joy of our Lord Jesus always be with you all.
愿主耶稣的平安和喜乐能够临到在座的每一位。
We thank God for peacefully guiding us through another week.
我们感谢神又平安带领我们度过一个星期。
And that we can come to the Sabbath day to turn our hearts, to Him again.
所以我们能够一起在安息日里头又把我们的心转向神。
May God continue to bless us and to strengthen us.
我们求神能够继续祝福我们，然后加添我们力量。
Recently in the New York area, we've been reading the book of Exodus.
我们最近纽约地区正在阅读出埃及记。
And so tomorrow, or today, we should have read to Exodus chapter 15.
那么今天或明天，我们应该准备要读到出埃及记的第十五章。
And that means that recently we finished the 10 plagues.
那代表我们已经读完了十灾。
Also about the first Passover.
也读完了以色列人第一次的逾越节。
About how they finally left Egypt.
还有以色列如何终于离开了埃及。
And how they crossed the Red Sea.
甚至他们如何渡过了红海。
In all of these stories and passages, we know that the main worker was Moses.
我们知道在这一切又一切的事迹还有记载里面一个最重要的工人就是摩西。
Starting from chapter 2, we saw how God chose him, saved him, used him, and then eventually spoke to the people through him.
那么我们可以从出埃及记第二章开始就看到神是如何的拣选他，然后拯救他，甚至用他让他在就是众人面前代表神来说话。
And so, when we look at the whole Bible, you can argue that Moses truly is one of the most important workers.
那么如果你纵览整个新旧约全书，你甚至可以说摩西是这诸多工人当中最重要的其中一位。
Right, because he also eventually wrote the five books of Moses, the Torah.
那么他甚至就是完成了整个圣经里的头五卷，我们称为摩西五经。
And I think if you ask any Jewish person today, if you ask them who is God's most important worker or prophet, probably a lot of them would also say Moses.
甚至你到现在，你如果随机的去问现在的犹太的信徒，问他说在整个圣经里面谁是神最重要的工人还有先知，他们可能会毫不犹豫地说就是摩西。
So while being able to serve God is of course up to God's will,
我们当然知道我们服侍神是出于神的旨意。
Right, and any role that we are given is of course a privilege, a mercy and a grace already.
那么当然神托付给我们任何一样工作都是属于我们的荣幸，还有神的怜悯和神的恩典。
I think it's still useful to spend some time into looking how God molded, formed, right, and trained Moses to be able to eventually serve in such an important role.
所以我们要来观看到底神是经过什么样的方法来塑造、锻炼，甚至最后练就了这个能够服侍神的摩西。
And so I hope that the way we can see eventually that the way that he was trained and molded, it can serve as a pattern for us today too, when we are trying to serve God or also even raising our children.
那么，所以我们借着来观看神如何来训练，甚至就是塑造出摩西的这个最后的形象，来作为我们的一个典范，提醒我们要怎么样来成为被神所用，甚至如何来教导我们儿女的一个方向。
And then eventually can be useful for God's good will.
所以我们能够真的按着神的旨意做美好的事情。
So tonight I'd like to share my message in three parts.
所以我们今天要和大家分享三个重点。
How was Moses eventually trained and formed.
那么到底摩西最终是怎么样得到磨练，然后最后能够塑造成最终的形状？
The first part we'll talk about is from his mother and father.
那么我们第一个要讲到是他的受到训练的来源是来自于他的父亲还有母亲。
The second part we'll talk about is actually he also was formed and molded by the Egyptian society.
那么第二个重点，我们说他也事实上在他成长过程中，他也是受到埃及的文化的熏陶还有塑造。
And then thirdly, we'll talk about how, eventually, most importantly, he was molded and trained by God.
那么第三点是最重要一点是他是如何的被神所塑造出来。
All of that contributed to, eventually.How Moses could faithfully serve the Lord.
那么这一切的一切加总起来，就是能够让我们明白到底摩西怎么样预备好，然后为神所用，服侍神。
So let's talk about the first point.
所以我们来看第一点。
We know everybody has parents, and Moses had two parents as well.
那么我们知道我们每个人都有爸爸妈妈，所以摩西当然他也有他自己的父亲和母亲。
Parents really serve such an important role in the upbringing.Of their children.
那么爸妈的确对儿女来讲是扮演一个很重要养育教导的一个责任。
According to Exodus chapter 6, Moses' parents' names were Jochebed, the mother, and Amram, the father.
那么我们如果看到出埃及记第六章二十节，我们可以看到摩西的母亲叫做约基别，父亲叫做暗兰。
And from the beginning of Moses' story, we can see how.Especially the mother was a mother of faith.
那么我们如果从出埃及记刚开始，我们可以看到，事实上摩西的母亲是相当有信心的一位女妇人。
I think how Moses was eventually spared and then saved. This is a very famous story, so we won't go into too many details, right?
那么我们因为时间关系，我们不会走向细节，但是我们大家都非常熟悉摩西是怎么样被藏起来，最后得到拯救。
Right. All of this, that whole process was.Showed a mother of courage and a mother of wisdom.
那么这一切的过程，我们都看到作为一个母亲，她的勇气还有她的智慧。
Even wise to the point where she could even be the nurse of her own son, even though it's very dangerous.
即使在种种很危险的情境之下，她甚至可以想方设法成为她亲生儿子的奶妈。
And so she was able to spend a lot of time with Moses while he was small.
所以在这样子情况下，他能够有足够时间在摩西成长当中陪伴着他。
And with Moses at home, of course, the father, Amram would also be present as well.
那么当摩西还在家的时候，当然他的父亲暗兰也在家里陪伴他。
Now, what does the Bible say about the parents?
那么在圣经中是怎么样描述摩西的父母
？Now, first turn to Hebrews chapter 11.
我们先请一起看希伯来书第十一章。
Hebrews chapter 11.
希伯来书第十一章
，And let's read verse 23.
我们请看第二十三节。
Hebrews 11 verse 23.
希伯来书十一章二十三节。
By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command.
二十三节，摩西生下来，他的父母见他是个俊美的孩子，就因着信。把他藏了三个月，并不怕亡命。
Here, the New Testament talks about Moses' parents.
在这边，在新约圣经里面描述到摩西的父母。
It tells us that they were parents of faith.
我们可以看到圣经上面说他们是就是有信心的父母。
They saw that Moses was born very healthy and beautiful.
他们看到他们的孩子被生下是如此健康又俊美。
That God had given to them a precious.Son, with so much potential.
那么看到神赏赐给他们这么一个宝贵的儿子，带着充满了未来跟希望。
And so by faith and with courage, they made a decision to, of course, save his life.
所以凭着信心，又借着勇气，把他给藏起来，把他生命给保留下来。
Now the Bible doesn't tell us too many details of what they did with Moses during the time Moses was at home.
那么圣经上面并没有任何额外的记载，就是当摩西还在家里的时候，他的父母做了什么。
But when we keep on reading verse 24,
但是我们如果接着来看第二十四节
，It says Moses he became of age.
他们提到摩西他长大了
，And then he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
但是他长大以后就不肯被称为是法老的女儿。
So we can see from Moses' actions later in life.We can tell that in the short time that he had with his parents really made the most of that time.
那么 我们可以看到就是在这样子一个成长过程当中，事实上摩西的亲生的父母事实上是塑造他这个成长过程中最大的一个关键。
That, even though the time was so limited, they really instilled with him a identity, and also true values, right?
即使他的父母陪伴在他身边的时间是如此短暂，但是在这段时间里面，他们已经 很明确的把他真实的身份给灌输下去。
Later on, he was going to spend most of his life, in the king's palace, the Pharaoh's palace.
然后接下来他就说，他生命中花了更多的时间是在埃及的王宫里。
Ultimately, he knew who he was. He was a Hebrew.
那么在王宫里面，他终于明白他是谁，他是一个希伯来人。
He knew who his God was.
而且他了解他的那位神是什么样的一位神。
This all has to do, from his parents instilling this in him.
那么这一切一切都从他父母对他的灌输教育开始。
Because of course, the Pharaoh is not going to do this for him. The Pharaoh's daughter is not going to do this for him.
我们可以很清楚知道，法老跟他的女儿绝对不会灌输给他这样子的概念。
But when he was young, he learned all of these from his parents.
所以他当他还小的时候，他从他父母当亲生父母当中学会这一切。
And so eventually he wanted to, Yeah, he wanted to even suffer with his people.
所以他长大以后，他就有那个意思，他甚至会愿意为他的同胞来受苦。
So that early part in Moses' life was very important to his eventual, formation and training.
所以他在刚出生、刚小时候所得到这一切，是对他最后长成什么样一个形态的人，事实上是一个很重要的过程。
This reminds us today that if we still have children who are younger.Right, that we need to take advantage of this time as well.
那么这提醒我们，如果我们家里还有年幼的儿女，那我们要竭尽所能把握这样的时间跟机会。
I think we all also hope that our children can be used by God, that they can be precious in God's eyes.
我们希望，我们当然是希望我们的孩子为神所用，而且在神的眼中看为宝贵。
And so, roughly speaking, we have about like 18, 20 years with them.
那么简单来讲，我们这个孩子会在我们的生命里起码陪伴了大概18到20年左右时间。
Later on, they will probably, especially in America, they will probably be on their own.
那么可能，尤其在美国社会，可能超过这个时间，他们就要开始自己独立生活了。
So we must utilize that time we have with them very well.
所以我们要把握这个有限的时间，然后善用这样的时间。
We should emphasize who they are, their identity, right, in God's eyes, in this society too.
我们要不断的提醒他们，在神的眼中，在社会当中，他们到底是什么样一个，他们真实身份是什么。
Right, that they are children of God. They're not just any normal person.
他们不是一个随随便便普通，他们是神的儿女。
Right, and that they are in the true Jesus Church.
那么他们在真耶稣教会里。
Right, and so we have to emphasize this religious education, emphasize family altar at home.
所以我们要不断的强调宗教教育，还有家庭祭坛，在我们日常的家庭生活里。
This is where they really will, gain their values, their identity, and that spiritual knowledge.
所以他们可以借这个过程中，能够不断的建立起或获得他们自己身份的认知，还有他们灵性。
Society is not going to impart that on them.
我们要知道说，在一般日常社会里面，这些社会不会给他们这样的资源。
Just like how Egypt was not going to give Moses any of this precious values and identity.
那么就好像在埃及的文化跟社会不会告诉他这个很最重要的身份认知。
So it comes from us.
这必须要来自我们。
And this is also a reflection of a verse in Malachi.
那么这也同样反映了马拉基书一段记载。
I think we all know in Malachi it says, like, why did God make them one? Why did God institute marriage?
那么为什么神建立婚姻制度的时候是造一人呢？
It says it's because he wants godly children.
因为他要从那义人里面得到那个属神敬畏神的后裔。
And so, let us really, utilize this time well, to impart and to bring up godly children for the Lord.
所以我们真的要能够把握这样一个有限珍贵时间，能够把我们孩子造就成为一个合神心意的孩子。
In the proper time, we instill those values, that identity on them.
在适当的时间里面要把这个正确的价值灌输在他们的脑子心里头。
We know, one very practical thing is, especially with, holidays.
那么一个非常实际的一个状态，就是在面对假期的时候。
Right, like upcoming is Christmas.
比如说我们圣诞节快要到了。
Right, in October, it was Halloween.
那么在十月份有万圣节。
Right, these are the things that they run into in school in the society.
那么这些都是他们在他们学校还有在他们的生活环境以后。会遇见的。
These are actually teachable moments to instill in our children their values, their identity.
所以这是一个非常好的一个时机，能够提醒他们的价值还有他们的身份是什么。
We don't just follow the trends of the world.
我们并不是直接就是随意效法这个世界。
And since these holidays also, in the very origin, is related to pagan festivities.
那么因为这个这些节日，实际上背后都有带了一些所谓的那种迷信的一个信仰的根基在。
So we don't celebrate it, we don't participate in it.
所以我们不庆祝，我们也不跟着去参加他们的活动。
Because we should live a life that's separated from God.
因为我们要为了神的缘故要分别出来。
That's just one example of how we can instill the values and identity.
那这是一个我们一个例子，可以来教导我们的孩子怎么样来分辨，然后来建立自己的身份。
But eventually, right, we try to have a good relationship with them to always be communicating our values.
那么，所以我们也要和我们的儿女建立良好的关系，能够不断的能够互相提醒我们的价值在哪里。
So the first part is the first.The first way Moses eventually became such an important worker is related to his own mother and father.
所以第一个阶段，摩西之能够成为一个很重要的工人，事实上，他的这些就是定型是从他的父母来的。
Right. This is not absolute, but definitely I think helped for Moses' case.
当然，这不是一个最绝对的结果，但是这绝对是一个很主要的一个帮助。
Right. If you think about just take for example the full-time workers in the U.S.
就把我们举个例子来讲，就好像在纽约地区的全职工人，
in the U.S.
在美国地区的全职工人。
In my understanding, seems like about one third did not grow up in the church.
那么事实上，在这些全职工人里面，大概有三分之一他不是在教会里面从小长大的。
But then most of them, about two thirds, yes, they grew up in the church. They grew up knowing these values and identity.
但是有另外三分之二工人，事实上他们都是从小在教会生长，所以他们事实上自小就知道他们的身份还有他们的价值。
So that young period, as children are growing, is so critical.
所以孩子在成长过程中，他能够学习，能够被塑造机会是非常关键的。
Let's now talk about the second part that contributed to Moses' formation.
那么我们要提到第二个部分，那个能够塑造摩西的这样条件。
We know later Moses, of course, had to be he was weaned and he had to live in the palace courts.
我们当然知道，后来摩西他就断奶了，他就开始在就是埃及的王宫里面开始学习。
And he grew up as the child of, he's the son of the Pharaoh's daughter.
所以他是以法老女儿的儿子身份在王宫里面生长。
And that was a very privileged life.
所以那是一个相当有特权的生活。
Because Egypt was the world's most advanced civilization at the time.
因为在当时，埃及是在全世界里面最先进的文明的所在。
You could say it was like the world superpower.
我们可以甚至说那是一个世界超级强国的时代。
A lot of their technological advancements were already hundreds of years old by that time, by the time of Moses.
有很多非常先进的科技，事实上已经在摩西出生前几百年前就已经建立起来了。
For example, the Great Pyramids that still stand today, that was completed evenhundreds of years before Abraham.
那么比方说就是我们现在都能够看到的大金字塔，它被建造时间甚至是在亚伯拉罕之前几百年前就建造出来了。
And so the Egyptian civilization already had that type of knowledge and advancement.
所以我们知道说在埃及文明它有非常在当时非常领先的一个知识还有学问。
Okay, now let's go to Acts chapter 7.
我们请看使徒行传第七章。
Acts chapter 7 verse 22.
使徒行传第七章，请看第二十二节。
Verse 22, and Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds.
使徒行传第七章第二十二节，摩西学了埃及人一切的学问，说话行事都有才能。
Right, so Moses growing up in the Egyptian palace, eventually learned all the wisdom of the Egyptians, right? And was mighty in words and deeds.
所以摩西在埃及的王宫当中，他就学习各样最最先进、最完整的学问，所以他说话行事都有才能。
He truly could receive a world-class education at the time.
所以我们可以甚至可以说，他在当时是领，就是学习是世界级的知识。
Maybe a little bit like somebody today who can go to Harvard, Yale, or like Oxford, or something like that.
那么就好像现在可能有我们的学生可以去念哈佛、耶鲁，或者是就是牛津大学、
okay.
这样。
Yeah, so Moses really was very different. Yeah, he was able to be have very wonderful education within society.
所以他在当时的社会当中，他可以得到最高阶的一个学问在那。
And according to what Stephen says here, he actually was very talented.
那么根据斯蒂凡在这边的描述，他事实上是很有才能的。
Right, mighty in words and deeds.
他在说话行事上都很有能力。
He's a very capable person.
他是一个很有才干的人。
And so this actually is also part of his formation, part of his upbringing.
所以这也是在成长当中他所塑造出来的一个能力。
And we should not neglect this part either. It's actually related to eventually how he could serve God when he was older, even older.
我们也不要忽略掉在这方面的一个磨练或者是塑造，因为这些条件跟状态都将来在服事神上面都可以用得到的。
Like we said, Moses, he wrote the first five books of the Bible.
我们知道说摩西他写下了圣经中的头五卷的经卷。
We have to also understand in ancient times, not many people wrote at all.
那么可是我们要了解另外一个事实是在那个年代里面不是每个人都会写字。
I don't have concrete numbers, right? But I would say,less than 5%.
那么我们没有一个很确切的数字，但是就我的理解是，这个写字的人口少于 5%.
People had to go through official training to be scribes and things like that.
事实上，在当时的人要接受非常专业的训练，才有资格写字。
Yeah, most people were just illiterate. That's how things were.
那么在那个世界里面，大多数人不需要识字，但是就世界的状况。
He grew up inthe Egyptian palace and can receive the secular education.
那么因为他在王宫当中，所以他可以得到最好世俗的教育。
Right, and but that also eventually contributed to what he could do for the Lord, much later.
但是这样的训练也造就他将来能够怎么样，能够更进一步来服事神。
So today, secular knowledge and schooling is also something thatis part of our formation, and it also can be used to serve God.
所以我们在这个世界上面所学到的学问跟知识，事实上将来有一天也是可以用来服事神的。
But we should avoid two extremes.
但是我们要避免走到极端。
Right? One extreme is where some people say education is not important. Don't go to school. Don't learn anything.
那其中一个极端是觉得说啊。这个念书学院不重要的时候就不要去学校念书。
Right, the other extreme is too much emphasis on just secular knowledge and abilities and training.
那么另外一个极端是过分强调或者只在乎那个在世俗上面里面最深奥的学问。
Let's talk about the first extreme first.
那我们先来谈第一个极端。
I remember when I was in theological training.
那么我记得我那个时候在接受神学训练的时候。
There was an instructor, at that time he was in his 60s, right?
那么在当时有一个讲员，他大概是60岁左右。
And he was saying, even decades earlier, when he was younger, right? When he was younger, he said, at that time, the church, where he was from, didn't actually look down on education.
Did not
look down.
Did not, right? 没有，没有。OK, 所以他说，在他十年之前，教会并不看清那种就是教育，
看清。
那个时候是不是就是。看清那种接受更高等学问的这样子的机会。
They were saying that, education makes one worldly.
因为他们那个时候认为是说，那个教育会让人世俗化。
Right, you just rely on the Spirit of God, There's no need for university or higher education.
那个不，你不需要接受更深、更高阶的教育，你只要靠圣灵的感动就好了。
Right, but that's too extreme. Right?
但是这个情况事实上是走向了第一个极端。
We can see in the Bible again, like just from Moses himself, how actually these things can be used for this in the God's service too.
但是我们在使徒行传看到这边提到。摩西所受到的这些训练，事实上将来都对服侍神是非常重要的。
In a way, knowledge is more neutral, actually.
所以在这个情况下，知识本身是一个比较中性的东西。
It just depends how you use it.
就是这个知识的好坏是看使用的人用什么方法来用它。
If you have an opportunity to gain more education, we should take advantage.
如果你有机会能够接受更好的教育，你应该就去接受它。
For example, here in America, really our young generation has a lot of opportunities compared to other countries.
那么比较其他的国家，在美国生长还的确比较有机会受到好的教育。
So, very naturally, in high school, they have to pick a second language. They have to learn certain subjects, right?
那么在美国的高中，大多数学他们必须要选择一个第二外文，所以他们就要学习美英文以外其他语言。
That is, for example, that's just one subject that comes to mind, but that's something that they can use in for God, right?
那么事实上，这个很奇妙，就是这个第二个语言就是可以拿来服侍神。
Right, so knowledge is not to be looked down upon.
所以知识不是一个我们要去轻视的东西。
So let's now talk about the other extreme.
那我们接下来谈另外一个极端。
This is something maybe more common sometimes.
那么可能这个情况是比较普遍的。
Right, which is that sometimes there's an overemphasis on education.
那么这是变成是一个过度强调学问重要的情况。
For parents, it seems like the value they convey to the children is that education is the most important thing.
这个家爸妈就是长辈的灌输是万般皆下品，唯有读书高。
Especially sometimes nowadays, in the Asian culture, it could be too much pressure, too much emphasis.
那么在亚洲的社会里面，可能我们做爸妈或者是长辈的长一辈人，就是太多的重心都放在那个念书的事情上。
Where that actually even supersedes their relationship with God and their identity and their value, right, in Christ.
甚至过度重视教育，超过了要能够在属灵上面的认知跟价值。
Right. So again,Knowledge is good, and you could say it's most important is like your value should steer how you can use the knowledge you can obtain.
事实上，我们应该是要用我们的信仰的价值来引导我们的知识要走向哪个方向。
And we should have a very balanced perspective, right, about this the secular knowledge that we can gain.
所以我们要能够善用这个从世俗上学到的知识来得到一个适当的平衡。
And I think it's, again, going back to that, those values and identities, right? That is actually should be the locomotive, that's leading the way.
那么我们事实上回到我们的所谓的认知跟价值，它应该就是那个真正的动力的来源，来决定整个
So as parents, one thing we can reflect on is really what type of values are we conveying at home?
所以我们在做父母的身份来讲，我们要来想想我们要怎么样把这个价值带到家里。
Yeah. Recently I read an article.
那么最近我读到一篇文章。
There was I think maybe psychologist. He surveyed over 200,000 middle school and high school students.
那么这是一个心理学家在20万个学生还有学校里面所做的一个调查。
They surveyed parents and their kids, right?
哦，他是事实上这个问卷的对象是家长和他们的学生，和他的儿女。
And they asked the parents what matters most.
他问爸妈什么最重要。
Parents basically said, we just want our kids to be healthy and happy.
那么爸妈说就是健康还有高兴是最重要的。
But their own children, there is when they were surveyed.
但是如果这个调查对象是他们的孩子
，right? They were saying, I'm hearing a different message, right?
那么他说，可是我从家里听到是不一样的讯息。
Right? The students reported what my parents mostly care about, really care about, are my grades and test scores.
那么就说。就是我从我爸妈听到，他们最在乎的事情是我在学校的成绩。
So there is like a disconnect here. This is of course in just general society.
那么这是在我们一般的社会当中所说的调查，你会看到有一个非脱节的一个现象。
The parents think that okay, the value I'm conveying is just be happy and healthy.
那就是爸妈自己感觉是说我只要孩子健康高兴就好了。
But the kids, the way they are seeing things is, no, my parents, the one thing they really, really care about is my test scores.
那可是呢，在孩子感觉说不，我爸妈就是觉得就是考试考越高分越好。
So I think you can also reflect on that too from a faith point of view, right?
那所以我们也可以把这样子一个观念回头来看我们信仰的态度。
Our main value is, right? Is this person, is our child able to glorify God?
我们在教会里面所建立的一个概念是，这个孩子所做是不是能够荣耀神？
But what is the messaging that our kids are receiving at home?
我们是这样子觉得，但是我们的孩子他到底从我们身上得到什么样的讯息？
And one of the things that really can kind of serve as a mirror is the things that we praise.
那么事实上一个可以当作一个像一面镜子一样来反映的来反省的事情是我们怎么样的祷告
praise.
我们怎么样赞美我们的儿女
yeah, right. Our praise reflects our values.
事实上我们如何称赞我们的儿女反映出我们所认定真正的核心的价值。
So if most of our praise is about, oh good, you did your homework, good, you got 100,then the messaging that the kids receive is, oh, the scores are most important, homework's most important.
如果你的孩子得到称赞都是啊，你这个功课有做完，然后考试考100，那当然他就会觉得说，这个在他生命当中最重要价值是成绩。
Right. On the other hand, if we are asking also about appraising about, oh, they were reading the Bible, they're praying, right? They also were able to live out their Christian values and identity in society, then they'll understand, okay, this is what my parents care about.
但是如果他们能够得到，比如说他们在家有祷告，他们在家有读圣经，或者他们有做出合乎基督徒的价值的时候，他们就知道原来在父母心中的价值是在另外一个地方。
Yeah, so this is the second part of Moses' formation.
那么这是摩西他所得到第二个层面的一个塑造。
He also is molded by his environment, his society.
他也同样被他的社会和他的环境 来捏造塑造出。
And he gained some secular knowledge, but that God eventually could also use.
那么他虽然得到是世俗的知识跟学问，但是神还是能够使用这样子的。
Let's now talk about the third part, and we can say it's the most important part.
那么接下来进到第三层，也就是最重要的那一层。
Which is the molding and training from God himself.
那么就是得到从神直接的塑造和训练。
And in this part, I'd like to talk about two things.
那么在这一个点中，我要谈论两件事情。
Like, the first part is more kind of passive.
那么第一个状态是比较被动的。
Right, where God allowed kind of life to teach him lessons.
那么神会让我们在我们生命中所遭遇的事情，让我们从生命中学到功课。
The second one I'll talk about is God more proactive.
那么第二个是神比较主动积极的那一面。
Now the first part, which is more passive, is what? Is when Moses turned 40.
那么这个所谓比较被动的这样子一个程度记载，是当摩西40岁的时候发生的事情。
Right, let's read Acts chapter 7.
我们请看出埃及记第七章。
Acts.
哦，对不起，《使徒行传》第七章。
And let's read verse 25.
我们请看第二十五节。
Acts 7, verse 25.
使徒行传第七章第二十五节。
For he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. Verse 26.
二十六节。
And the next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, Men, you are brethren. Why do you wrong one another?27. But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? 28. Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Verse 29. Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. Please read them.
使徒行传第七章第二十五节。他以为弟兄必明白神是借他的手搭救他们，他们却不明白。26节，第二天遇见两个以色列人争斗，就劝他们和睦说，你们两二位是弟兄，为什么彼此欺负呢？27 那欺负邻舍的把他推开说，谁立你做我们的首领和审判官呢？二十八节，难道你要杀我，像昨天杀那埃及人吗？二十九节，摩西听见这话就逃走了，寄居于米甸，在那里生了两个儿子。
We know at age 40, Moses, he went out and saw an Egyptian, oppressing and beating a Hebrew.
那么我们知道说他在40岁的时候，他看到呢，就是有埃及的人在欺负，然后在殴打他的，就是希伯来人的同胞。
So Moses took things into his own hand. He killed the Egyptian and then hid the body in the sand.
所以这个摩西他就亲自动手把那个埃及人给杀了，然后把他藏在沙子里。
So at this time, he really had a clear identity, right, of himself. He knew he was a Hebrew.
我们从这边就可以看到，他很清楚的知道他以自己是希伯来人的身份来认定。
He knew the Egyptians were oppressing his own people.
他明白埃及人在压迫他的百姓。
He saw that also he was in a very unique position, to be able to help his people.
然后他也知道他处在一个非常非常特别的一个条件，可以来帮助他的同胞。
So at that time, he saw himself as a deliverer for his own people.
所以他在那个时候，他认定自己是一个拯救他同胞的一个角色。
This was, of course, good, but also bad.
那所以我们可以说这是一个好事，但是同样也是一件坏事。
He knew who he was, but it wasn't according to God's will, right?At that time,
他知道他是谁，他的身份是什么，但是他没有照着神的旨意来做。
Right, he had a lot of self-ambition and self-will at this time.
在那个时候，他有很多他自己个人的意见，还有他自己个人的主张。
And why wouldn't he not? Because he was a very capable person. He was educated in Egypt.
那么你会想说，为什么不呢？因为他是一个受高等教育而且很有能力的一个人。
Right, and so.When he's yeah, so he wanted to do something to help his people.
所以他想要做一些能为他的同胞做一些事情。
But then, so the next day, when he saw his own people fighting,
所以第二天他看到自己的同胞在打架。
Right. And then the person said, "Who made you judge and ruler over us?"
所以那两个人就直接其中就跟他讲说，你凭什么来当我们的审判官
？Are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian?
你要杀我们，就像他昨天杀那个。
So Moses realized two things.
所以摩西他知道两件事情。
First thing that when he killed the Egyptian, this thing is now known by people now.
就是当他杀了那个埃及人，大家都知道。
Right. Second thing is his own people reject him as a leader.
第二件事情是他的同胞拒绝他当领袖。
And so he immediately fled into the wilderness.
所以他就毫不犹豫就往米甸旷野里面逃了。
And then he spent 40 years just in the desert, right? Becoming a shepherd.
那么，所以他就这样子，在40年在米甸旷里面默默无名的在牧羊。
Right? Yes, he married, but those children actually kind of weren't his own children. He kind of married into that family.
那么，这个虽然他在那边生了两个孩子，但是事实上他好像就是等于是寄居在那个家庭里面。
Right.So here, this was God's training, though.
那么这是神对他的一个训练。
It was more passive in nature. It was just kind of life taking its course, but really deeply teaching Moses important lessons.
那么这是一个被动，借着生命的事实来磨练他，让他去了解到底是用什么样的态度来服侍。
So that Moses, in those 40 years, really completely emptied himself.Of any self-will and heroic intentions and personal ambitions.
我们看到神借着这四十年的时间，不断的倒空他自己个人的意志，他的英雄主义跟他自己个人的意志。
So, God, sometimes, yeah, allows life to take its course too.
那么神时常有的时候有常常会利用我们生命的历程来。来带领引导我们要走的方向。
To learn about different lessons so that we can be used by Him.
那么，让我们借着不同的生命历练，学习不同东西，然后来学习如何来让他来带领。
Sometimes we may also have to learn the same lesson.
有的时候，我们可能也要借着这样的方法来接受学习。
We're filled with too much of our own thinking, our own ambition.
尤其当我们有太多自己个人想法，还有自己的野心。
Then how can God use us? We're just led by our own desires. We're not led by God.
我们在这个情况下怎么样为神所用？因为我们只充满我们自己的想法，不愿意让神来带领。
Yeah, so that's the first training from God. Just God let life teach him a lot.
那么这是第一种神用被动的方法教，就是让我们的生命来教会我们。
The second thing was more proactive.
那么第二个就是比较积极主动的。
And recently we were reading about the 10 plagues.
那么最近我们读到了十灾。
This was shortly after God called him in the wilderness, right, to go into Egypt and to save his people and deliver his people.
那么那是神在旷野当中呼叫他，然后要他就是立刻能够回到埃及去带领他的百姓离开。
And we know how low of a view Moses had of himself by this point in time.
我们知道在那个时候，摩西是非常非常不相信自己能力的。
Right, he had a lot of self-pity, actually.
他有很多就是很自卑的那种心态。
So that when God was calling him, on the surface it seemed like he's humble, but actually God got angry at him because he was looking down on himself too much.
那么表面上看起来他好像很谦卑，但是到最后他事实上把神都弄到生气，因为他根本就是自卑，完全不相信自己的能力。
Too much self-doubt.
他对自己的怀疑已经超过太多了。
So God even allowed, okay, I'll let your brother Aaron to accompany you.
所以最后甚至神就是说，好，我就让你的哥哥亚伦跟着你去。
But that type of attitude at that point in time is not able to be really used by God either.
但是在当时他的这种态度还有他的这种状态，事实上他没有办法完全的让神来使用。
Too much self-pity, too much self-doubt.
那么太多自我的怀疑，太多的自卑感。
Not enough trusting in God Himself.
那么没有足够的信心来相信神。
So these two events, in a way, are kind of opposites.
所以这两个状态事实上好像是相反的。
Right? At first, Moses had too much confidence, too much self-will and ambition.
因为在他前面的那个四十年当中，他事实上是太过分自信，太相信自己了。
40 years later, now he's like he sees himself as nothing.
那么四十年之后，他就是消磨到他已经没有，他已经不相信他，完全不相信他自己了。
So then we had the 10 plagues.
所以他神带领他经历的那十灾。
On the surface, the 10 plagues, of course, is God revealing his great power to Egypt and to the Pharaoh.
从字面上、表面上来看，好像就是神要在埃及面前彰显他的大能，就这样而已。
Yeah, and that's of course very true.
事实上，这是确确实实的。
But something else through that process was that it was a training for Moses too.
但是在这个过程当中，实际上神也借着这个历程在训练摩西。
Because it was a process of slowly giving Moses faith and complete trust in God.
因为这给摩西渐渐的能够对神有信心，然后渐渐完全的相信神。
So that he would not just look at his own inadequacies, but to look at God who has called him and has almighty power.
所以他不是只是看着自己的不足，而是能够看到神的全能还有神的带领。
So if you look at the 10 plagues, you can divide it into 4 sections.
所以整个十灾你可以把它分成四个阶段。
You can divide the first 3 into 1 section.
你可以把前面三个灾当作第一阶段。
And the next 3 as the middle section.
那么中间叫接下来三个是它的第二阶段。
And the next 3 as the third section.
那么再后面三个灾是第三阶段。
And the 10th plague as the final 4th section.
那么第最后一灾把它当作是第最后的阶段。
In the first 3 plagues, if you notice, Aaron was the main speaker and the main person.Doing the work.
如果看十灾的前面第一灾到第三灾，事实上是亚伦是那个主要的代言人，还有主要的实行人。
Aaron is like the leader here because Moses he had so much low self worth.
我们看到出头的带头的都是亚伦，因为那个时候摩西太退缩，太不相信自己。
So, if you look carefully in Exodus 7 and 8.
如果仔细看出埃及记第七章和第八章，
Aaron was the one who was stretching out his hand and the staff in his hand.
那么亚伦是那个伸出手跟伸出杖的那一位。
Right. He's the one who threw the rod down to turn into the snake.
那么他是那个把杖放下去变成蛇的那一位。
He was the one who stretched his rod over the water to turn it to blood.
他也是那位把手伸出这样击打水变成血的那一位。
He was also the one to stretch the rod over the water to cause the frogs to come out.
他也是那个手伸出杖来把青蛙从水里叫出来那，从河里叫出来那一位。
Right. And then he was also the one who stretched out his rod and then the strike to strike the dust and then lice came. Right.
那么他也是那个手伸出杖来击打尘土变成虱子的那一位。
Right. So in the beginning three is all Aaron doing kind of the more of the work.
所以我们可以看到在前面这三个灾里头都是由亚伦主动来执行神的指示。
Moses is more in the background. Right.
那么我们看摩西都是在退在后面。
But then now you get into the second section, the middle three plagues.
那么接着我们又看到后面三灾的第二阶段。
Here, when you look at it, it's like,Moses has some now independent commandments and actions, but there's some also working with Aaron.
那么我们可以看到，这个时候摩西他有得到一些比较独立的一些指示，但是还是跟亚伦在合作。
It's kind of like Moses on training wheels.
就好像是，就是摩西在实习的这状态。
Right? Yeah. So it's like God gave him a little bit of some things that he should do himself now.
那么就是好像神给他一些你要自己做的一些任务。
Right, so the fourth plague, Moses went to see Pharaoh in the early morning to talk about how flies are going to come.
所以就是在第四灾的时候，就是神就叫摩西要到就是水边去跟法老讲下一灾会发生什么事情。
Right, and then later Moses also went to see the Pharaoh to tell him how the livestock are going to be diseased.
然后接下来神就派摩西去跟法老说你们将来的牲畜要发生什么事情。
And then with the sixth plague, which is the boils, it was both Aaron and Moses who took ashes and scattered it in the heaven.
那么到第六灾疮灾事实上是摩西跟亚伦一起把尘土扬起然后在人的身上长出疮来。
So, in a way, it's kind of like an overlap between Aaron and Moses.Leading right together now. It's kind of like they're together to lead the people out of Egypt.
所以到了第二阶段，神已经到摩西、亚伦是共同的来主导来行使这个神迹。
Now we get to the third section.
接下来到了第三阶段。
By this time, it's no longer Aaron stretching out his hand or the staff.
从这后面的三灾里头，已经不再是亚伦伸出杖来执行这些事情。
But it's Moses.Who is stretching out his hand and stretching out the staff?
现在都是摩西伸出手举起杖来执行。
You can see this in chapter 9 and 10 regarding the hail, the locusts, and also the plague of darkness.
所以我们可以看到从出埃及记第九章、第十章的第七灾到第九灾里头的记载。
So by the time we get to the 10th plague,
最后第四阶段我们到了第十灾。
In a way, you can see how God has fully trained Moses.
我们可以看到神是如何把那个摩西已经训练完成了。
By that tenth plague, which is the death of the firstborn, and also related to Passover, right?
那么到了第十灾，也就是击杀长子，还有实行逾越节的时候。
Right. Moses is now ready to be that true leader to lead the Israelites out of Egypt.
那么那个时候的摩西已经变成真正全以色列家领袖，带领所有百姓出埃及。
Right. And truly, he then led them all out.
然后最后就是由他亲自带领所有人离开。
When they got to the Red Sea, Moses was the one who stretched out the staff, right, to open the Red Sea.
那么当摩西带领百姓到了红海前面，也是他伸出杖来让红海的水分开。
So, from this perspective, we can see God trained actively, right, actively use these kind of different assignments, small assignments, to let him become more and more.Ready to put his complete faith in God.
我们看到神借着就是一小段一小段不同的任务还有方法，不断的训练，让他能够逐渐的加强对神的信心，到他完全成熟。
So let him know that when he stretch out his rod, actually he knows it's because God is stretching out his hand and his power to do these things.
让摩西明白，当他的手伸出杖的时候，事实上就是神大能的手伸出去的时候。
So today, God may also give us these small assignments actively to train us.
所以在我们现在，神也会主动用一些小的任务，还有小的使命，让我们从这当中学习。
In every holy work, we have to go through like this training, and sometimes it's really like a practicum, like an internship that you little by little. learn to trust fully in God.
我们在我们被托付了很多的圣工，还有借着不断的一些练习，还有实习的过程中，我们不断的去学习、去成长。
So every work must have a beginning.
我们所有的服事都有个起点
，right? If you're the first time leading hymns, of course you're going to be nervous.
那么当然，你如果第一次站到讲台前面领事，你当然会觉得紧张。
First time you're leading a sermon, of course you're going to be nervous.
当你第一次站在讲台上讲道，你当然会紧张。
But God gives you that assignment, and then eventually you fully trust in Him, and don't you start to look less upon your own doubts and your own inadequacies.
但是借着神的引导，你会越来越。能够看见神的带领，而不是看着自己的缺乏。
Right. Your weaknesses and your limitations are still there, but then you see the great power and the limitless abundance and work of God.
你的软弱和不足还是在那里，但是你越来越能够相信靠着神去完成你所缺乏的部分。
So Moses did not become a worker of God by accident.
所以摩西能够成为神大能的一个 工人不是偶然。
Yeah, it actually is like 80 years, right, of formation, of training.
那是整整八十年的训练还有塑造所形
成。Before he was ready, yeah.
And then 在他可以为神工作之前。
And we can see his parents had a part.
我们可以看到他的父母扮演了一个角色。
His education had a part.
他所受的教育扮演了角色。
And then most of all, God transformed him.And then molded him for his service.
但是最重要是神真正塑造，让他真的完全的转变。
Okay, this concludes my message for tonight.
那我们今天晚上的聚会就到这里。
Let's sing a hymn. Let's just sing the first and last verse, hymn 442.
我们一起来唱第四百四十二首的第一节还有最后一节。
Hymn 442.
赞美诗第四百四十二首。